remember what we're supposed to be doing today and this next coming day. We have an obligation, I think, to remember those who served and who gave their all for us in this land. And Joshua 24, starting in verse 1, Joshua, it's probably a very familiar passage to you, I hope it is. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye they, saying, take up hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's foot stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you should lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God, unto the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what meaneth thee these stones? Then you shall answer them and say, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan, and waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes, the number of the children of Israel, carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests were, which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they also there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded. Joshua and all the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were cleansed, passed over, the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the children of the tribe of Manasseh, passed over the army before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed before the Lord into battle into the plain of Jericho. And on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that they bear the ark of the covenant, that they should come out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask thee their fathers in times to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then you shall let the children of Israel know, saying, Israel came over Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until we were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over before. And all the people of the earth shall know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Father, be with us this morning as we turn our attention to and fix our minds upon your scriptures. Teach us from it. Lord, we don't want to leave here today the same as we came in. Help us, Father, to understand and to be receptive in our hearts. And Lord, there's many, many times, many, many ways that my tongue and my mind is not what it should be. But Father, you know. I pray, Father, that you will use us. And Lord, help us to concentrate and be one, the body of Christ, one, mind and heart, mission, steps, and following the Lord Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Well, these are stones of remembrance. After the people of Israel supernaturally crossed the River Jordan. What happened to the River Jordan? It stopped and it rolled back. And they came over on dry ground. So they crossed over the Jordan to enter the promised land. And God Almighty told Joshua to choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them to go off there, take a stone from that very place where the priests were standing in the Jordan when the people of Israel crossed over Jordan on what? Dry land. Take up 12 stones, pile the stones up as a remembrance for the people of the power of God. That's what it's about. Remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. He has done great things. And it was to remind future generations that this miraculous river crossing happened, and that's why they're on this side and not on the other. Oh, friends, this morning, you know, we are people also that need to be reminded of God's mighty power. We need to be reminded that He can deliver to the uttermost. We need to be reminded that we're supposed to rise up and stand for Him. We need to be reminded that God is the one who can lift up or strike down. We need to be reminded of who God, the merciful, God, the wonderful, God, the God of grace and all power, is our God. Perhaps as you've come this morning, in the front door as you walked in, of this church, you notice maybe there were some stones out there as you walked in. They were kind of to the left side over there. And I don't know. Let me just ask you. You've walked in that way and all those kind of things. You saw this pile of stones over there. Does anybody know what those are? Vondell? That's right. These are stones of remembrance. We're supposed to remember what God has done. And we began to do it out in front of this building out there. Matter of fact, if you go out there and look in the grass, there's a kind of a little bit of concrete still there. I poured some concrete out there so we could put the stones up on there. But our fellows that used to live around here, they were, let me see. Pastor, come on, Brent. He's a good stout guy, right? Lift that stone up, please. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. So we had those stones piled up on a piece of concrete out there. And one day I came to church, and guess where the stones were at? They were thrown in a pond out there. So our guys that are around here, the helpful fellows that we have around the church, picked up those stones. And they're not light. That was my consolation when I started picking them up, bringing them back. I thought to myself, somebody, when they picked this stone up, went, you know. So they're stones of remembrance. We put them out there. So right there in the front of the yard. So when we drove in, the very first thing that we saw on the grass were these stones. I'm supposed to remember. Well, like I said, our fellows around the neighborhood here helped us out and threw them in the pond. And so we did the next best thing because I got tired of pulling them out of the pond. We brought them in, put them over there beside the door. Actually, we kind of made like a little sprinkler thing over there so that it would look like some kind of decoration as well as why the stones were there. We need to have things that remind us. We just do. We've got short memories. Oh, we do. We have long memories about people who offend us. Sometimes they don't even know they offend us, but we never forget that. But we've got short memories when it comes to the blessings that God blesses us with. We have short memories when we think about how the Lord God Almighty moved in our lives in wonderful, marvelous ways. Sometimes we would say miraculous ways, most assuredly, but our memories become dim. We remember kind of what that's all about. You see, God in Christ, for most of you here this morning, somewhere along the line, you got down on your knees, you did something, you acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you asked Him to come into your life, you asked Him to be Lord of your life, and so you got up, in my case, I got up from the side of my bed there in South Korea, in Osan, and I lifted up my hands and I praised the Lord, and I was grateful saying, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you lead me, I will do. And some of you are thinking, it wasn't GP, go preach, it was go plow. But anyway, isn't that true? Weren't those initial that new birth, wasn't that exciting? Weren't you just, you were bubbling over. People didn't have to ask you what was going on. You told them because you were excited what God has done. But yet, when time passes, I dare say that we begin to get more subdued. We don't necessarily just talk about Jesus like he's our best friend and we talked to him this morning. We should, but we don't. Those kind of things. And I dare say there are probably millions and millions of people who confess Christ Jesus as Lord who have forgotten that vow. They have forgotten that joyous promise that God has given to them. It's easy. It's not hard at all. The devil doesn't have to work very hard at all. Over in Psalms 137, the children of Israel have been taken into captivity to Babylon because for many years they had been disobedient. And God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet saying, straighten up, fly right, repent, and I'll bless you, and all those kind of things. But they were stiff-necked. I don't think it's in the Scripture. Is it in the Scripture that these people were Baptists? I think they were. I don't know if they call them Israelites there, but anyway, stiff-necked. And so God uproots them, takes them to Babylon, puts them in Babylon, and the psalmist writes this. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst of those things. Do you catch what's happening there? Are these people joyful? They're depressed. They're depressed. Bob, can we sing it? Ready? Set? Gloom, despair, and agony on... Come on, Bob. On me. Deep, dark depression. Come on, guys. Excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd what? Have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know why we like that song? Because it's our national anthem. That's the way we feel most of the time. I'd like to praise God. I'd like to be happy. I'd like to be outward bubbling and being willing to be used of God in all kinds of ways. We're willing inwardly, but we're so beat up on, and we're so put upon, and we're so ridiculed, and we're so set apart in the sense of some weird thing that we get this kind of condition. Sometimes even the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ feels that way. Most of the time, we shouldn't. Yet I think we do. That's why we need stones of remembrance. You say, well, that's just a rock. It can't say a thing. No, that's right. It can't say a thing. Somebody's supposed to what? Speak for it. We're supposed to be speaking for Jesus. You know, in 1971, Congress made Memorial Day an official federal holiday. Did you know that each Memorial Day, we as Americans are supposed to pause at 3:00 in the afternoon for a moment of what? Remembrance. I'm not sure that hardly anybody even knows to do that. Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is when we honor all our veterans who served. But Memorial Day is the day we honor those who served and died for this country. It's the difference, isn't it? Memorial Day is something very, very special. It should be to us. You know, I thought about this, and I thought, talking about stones of remembrance, there are literal stones of remembrance. There are literal things that come into our lives. There are literal things that when you have these things come into your focus and they pass into your life, they immediately bring to your mind whatever it is. I don't know how this works exactly, but there are times when I'm kind of walking around doing stuff, and usually I'm walking around grumbling, right, Sonia? She loves me. But that's true. Most of the time, grumbling. You know, this morning we couldn't get half the lights to turn on in the building. Why? I don't know. We have no idea, you know. I guess we could go around with a ball peen and boom, boom, you know, bash some of those breaker things. I don't know. But I suspect Vonda wouldn't like us to do that because then the electrician's bill would be double, wouldn't it? So we won't do that. But there are things that happen in our lives that we have no control over. And we get frustrated way too easily. So there are things that remind us that we should remember. There are things that remind me of things. And there's no reason for it other than it has something to do with something that's happened that's been meaningful in my life. So there are those literal things that trigger our memories. But then there are supposed to be living stones. Did you know that? Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us in verse 5, "Ye also are living stones. You're built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus, who is Lord." So there are literal stones or things, material things, that remind us of stuff. I see a Volare Plymouth car, white with a little red roof on it, every now and then. You don't see them very much. You know, somebody around here has got a Rambler station wagon. Do you know that? Have you seen that? Whenever I see that, I go, how did that happen? You know? Yeah, the house is still running. Why did anybody? It's pristine even, you know. 57 Chevrolet, I got that. But a Rambler station wagon? But it does bring memories back. When I see a Volare like that or something, I begin to take a look at it. And you know what happens? I just get a wave. Because that's my mom's car. You know. It doesn't make sense, does it? You say, well, that's stupid, Pastor. That car's not even hers. It's you know, very looks like it. Well, that's things happen. But we're supposed to have stones of remembrance, but we're supposed to be living stones too, because we're supposed to be a spiritual temple. We're to remember the Lord and magnify Him. You think about the physical structures that have been built around the world. I remember some time back, Bill Norton and I were talking about something, and he said, have you ever been to the Catholic, what is that thing called? Something in Cincinnati. Cathedral, there's it. Yeah. And I said, no, I have never been in over there. And he said, and he kind of went like this, and he said, it's nothing like this. And I thought, oh, what are you talking about? And he said, it's beautiful beyond belief. He said, when you're coming up to that building, the spires are telling you, think about God, He's above. All, and you walk in, marble floors, they have a pipe organ that's, you know, 20 foot high. It's beautiful and marvelous. That's a stone of remembrance. But we're supposed to be living stones. We're supposed to be living stones. Let me just jump over to Luke chapter 17 real quick. Can you do that too? It's in the New Testament there somewhere. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. It says here, and it came to pass, in Luke 17, verse 11, it said, it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, who's the he? Jesus. That he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, There he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Yeah, they were supposed to stand afar off. Matter of fact, they were supposed to say, unclean, unclean, don't come near me, etc., etc., etc. So 10 of them. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What do you think they were wanting? To be cleansed. Yeah, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said to them, okay, come over here, let me touch you. No. Come over here, let me, no. He said, go show yourself to the priests. What Jesus is doing is instructing them to do what the Old Testament says about how a leper would show himself to the priest and be, and the priest would pronounce him clean. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't touch them, didn't make any spittle. He didn't do any of those kind of things. He just told them to. You see, obedience is always the first part of faith. And one of them, when she saw that he was healed, turned back around and with a loud voice glorified God and came and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks and saying, and he was a Samaritan. You know what that means? He was the lowest of lows. And Jesus answered and said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Isn't that a penetrating question? Leprosy, the worst disease you could ever get. It exiled you. It made you standing outside all groups, your family, everybody, everything. It was the most horrible thing in all the world. 10 of these guys, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were healed. And Jesus asked that penetrating question, were there not 10? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. You know, some of us are strangers. Did you know that? As far as humanity is concerned, we're the low of the lows. We're the dregs. We're not worthy of anything. They don't realize they're not worthy either. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. 9 lepers did not return and give glory to God. And see, God knows how easy it is for us to forget. How could they forget in just that short period of time? It's not hard. It's easy. It's easy. There's always going to be a price, though, when we forget. When we forget the goodness of God, when we forget the mercy of God, when we forget what God has done for you, not what he's done for somebody else, but what he's done for you, there ought to be an amen in there someplace. What he's done for you. When we forget that, then we look to the wrong places for right answers. Should be asking God, but we don't. We go to the bookstore, and we see that they've got a shelf. I've thought about doing that. I think I could write a self-help book, too. They're just all over the place. It doesn't have to make any sense. No, it really doesn't. What you need is a good publicist who'll make a nice, attractive cover. You know, put some flowers on there or something like that or whatever. And, you know, magnify the name of the book or whatever it is like that. Have somebody get on the radio or the television or something like that and say, you know, this is a wonderful book. They've never read it. They don't want to read it. They're just, you know, there. So all those kind of things. And you can make a man out of that stuff. And most of it is garbage. Because most of it never gets to the root of your problem and never gets to the place where you can find a cure. It's all self-help stuff. Straighten up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, get up out of bed, stop moaning, and do whatever. That's all easy to say, but sometimes hard to do, isn't it? So we turn to the wrong place. We seek solutions in other things. We think sometimes if we just had some kind of a cool program, we could solve why people don't come to Sunday school or something like that, Bible study. If it just had a cool program, And they come up with cool programs all the time. And if we just got an expert to come in and tell us why we're doing this wrong or not, whatever like that, and you got this guy to come in and do it, if we just could do those kind of things, we would be okay. Why do we think that's going to work? Because we're told that in our ear by that fellow who's the opposition. But we've forgotten the true source of wisdom. We've forgotten the true source of power. We've forgotten the true source of the ability to make right out of wrong. This Valdez, Texas shooting, isn't it horrible? It's horrible. It's a horrible one. But, and I think I've got my keys right here for the door and stuff, because you may want to come get them in a little while. I can't imagine the anguish that those families are going through. I just really can't. I just, wow. And of course, then we find out that maybe the police didn't go in immediately. Maybe they stood around asking, who's in charge here? I don't know what they were doing. For another hour or something like that, whatever it was. And then we have the President of the United States get on television and say, for the love of God, why do we continue to allow these gun crimes to happen and kill our children? And I think to myself, what's wrong with this nut? He kills them by the millions every day. He keeps pumping in money to that place called Planned Parenthood. And they're killing babies. They're killing children. And he doesn't seem to understand that. I don't understand what he doesn't understand. But I do understand one thing. There is a problem in this country with mental health. There really is. Because, you see, we've forgotten what a healthy mind is all about. We do. We have those kind of statements. We have statements. Somebody asked the Supreme Court justice that we just appointed the other day, can you define a woman? And she said what? I think that's what she did. She didn't know. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And we're going to ask this lady to somehow or another evaluate laws, and she doesn't even know that. Yes, there's a mental health issue. And the mental health issue is that almost everybody is afflicted with this thing called sin. And because they're afflicted with this thing called sin, their minds are corrupted. And because their minds are corrupted, they cannot see clearly. Because their minds are under the power of that person that nobody wants to call him who he is, but he's Satan, he is demonic, he's the evil one, and he has power over them, and they don't even know it, and they keep coming back to that same altar and going down before it and sacrificing their children. The business of Baal has not gone away, has it? Hasn't gone away. It's still there. All over the place. Yes. It is really pretty simple, but it's also hard to give a right answer to a world that's deaf. You know, when our forefathers, our pilgrim forefathers, came to this new world, they were looking for a place where they could come, find some freedom to worship as God gave them understanding as they read the scriptures. And the Spirit gave them the wisdom to figure out how to do that. And because they made it through, which was a horrible ordeal, some of them didn't make it to this new land, did they? They died on the ship. They did something, they called it Thanksgiving. And now, of course, we don't even remember what Thanksgiving is. When you hear it on something this and something that, it's unbelievable. What were they doing, though? They were coming back to God, and they were saying, thank you, Lord. It's just simple. Thank you, Lord. We made it. We may not make it next year, but we made it this year. So we want to thank you. And it was to remind them consciously, but they wanted their children to remember. They want us to remember. It's a stone of remembrance. We put this down. We marked it down. We thank God Almighty. We're able to be free. We're able to worship God. We're able to set the precepts and the principles of the Scripture as our principles for government. Everybody in America has never been all Christian, but we are founded on Christian principles. We've forgotten that. Unbelievable. Well, listen, and America did enjoy great freedoms, didn't it? A great quality of life, maybe so much so that the world has never seen it before. But we've forgotten that. We used to kind of call that, and it was kind of mocked, the American dream. We've forgotten that. But you know, there are those who still remember that. Did you know that? They want to come here to celebrate that. As the flood of the migrants are coming through that border down there, you know what that testifies to? It testifies to our administration not having any sense, but it also testifies to their longing for, looking for a place that is free. And they're willing to walk halfway across South America. You know, if I had a chauffeur-driven limo with air conditioning and had a pastor walking along beside me singing to me, you know, Sophia making stuff that I could eat, you know, and I'd probably come too. But they don't have any of that, do they? Not only do they do that, but on the way, people actually take advantage of them. Sometimes the women are raped. Sometimes the children are taken away from their mothers and fathers. All kinds of terrible things, but they still want to come. They still want to come. They want to come here to find freedom in a land where they can worship as their conscience dictates to them, to capture for themselves and their children blessings. And you may disagree with me. I put my keys up there. But these migrants may well be America's last best hope, because they have not been contaminated with the thought patterns that we have been contaminated with over 50 years now. God may well be bringing them here to us to revitalize us, to turn back the hands of secularism, to turn back the anti-God sentiments, the anti-biblical. You see, most of these Latin American people, they put faith and family first. That's what they do. And you say, well, I don't think those people are Baptists. No, I don't know what they are. I still think there's a possibility that God is doing that to recapture and allow our minds to be free. They haven't been to our universities. Great. Isn't that marvelous? They don't have law degrees from Yale and Harvard and all those kind of things. They haven't been just stuffed full of silliness. All they're thinking about is just if we just can finally get there, we can get someplace, we get a job, and we can raise our children, we can worship, and we can praise God in this new and wonderful land. You know, I think about that, and we're in Acts chapter 5, verse 34 through 39. You might want to go back and read that. There stood up a man of the Pharisees called Gamaliel. And he said this. He said, "Ye men of Israel, take heed. If these words are not of God, they will fail," what the apostles were preaching. And in verse 49, he says, "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it." And they could not overthrow it, could they? And then he said this, "Lest haply you be found even fighting against God." So his admonition was, leave him alone. If it's nothing, it'll be nothing. And he quotes a couple of pseudo-messiahs, false messiahs that came and nothing happened. And in verse 42, it says in that passage, the disciples continued to worship God in the temple every day. They worshiped from house to house. They ceased not to teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what changed the world. That's what changed the world. Friends, let us be too found worshiping. You know, I don't know. The last figure I had was there were supposed to be 14.8 million Southern Baptists. That doesn't count. There are 248 different kind of Baptists. I'm just picking on us because I know it's a little bit better than the Lutherans and whatever. But there's supposed to be that many Baptists. Yet when we read a Sunday school report or something like that, if we have 2 or 3 million in Sunday school, that's good. Wait a second. I thought there was 14 million. The preponderance are not there. Just a few. Just a few. We got 14.8 million. Where are they at on Sundays? Where are they at in worship? I don't know where they're at. I suspect some are probably down there in Indy, don't you think? Isn't the Indy 500 today? Don't you think they drove from wherever to wherever? I had a nephew or something like that and was in Missouri, Ron, and he was asking me about the Indy 500. He said, you know, his wife and him were going to come up and do the Indy 500 and stuff like that. And he was telling me, you know, that they had to make their motel room in advance 6 months or something like that. They were paying $285 a night for this. And this is probably 20 years ago. And they knew that they were going to, you know, have to spend money on drinks and food and all that kind of stuff. He said, but I wouldn't miss it for the world. Never been, but he was going to go. And he did go. I liked him. He was really kind of a cool guy. He was a car guy, Dennis, you know. Yeah. And but you know, he's dead. His wife is dead. Three of his children are dead. I don't know what their spiritual condition was. He put all his eggs in the basket to go to the 500. And he left out God. He put all his money, all his resources. He didn't think anything about spending that kind of money. Some people will come to church and they will see somebody pass the offering tray and they'll think, those people, all they want is money. I don't want your money. I would recommend that you do give. God will bless you. I have no control over that whatsoever. His idea of what was important was totally out of whack, you see. Nice guy. Clean shaven. Dressed nicely. Drove cool cars. Had a big boat. Went down to Clearwater all the time. What the world offered, he had a lot of. His name was Paul. Isn't that amazing? Wonder who he was named after. I don't know. Maybe there was a Paul in his family. But if there was, who was that Paul named after? Maybe there was another Paul. I bet you somewhere along the line, somebody was named Paul after the guy in the Bible here. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. You say, well, your name's not Paul. I know that. My name's Michael. There's some more Michaels around. You know, you look that name up and you'll find out it means who is like God. Some people think it's a question mark. Read a little bit further. It's not a question mark. It's an exclamation mark. Who is like our God? It's not a question. It's a statement, emphatically with an exclamation mark. Stones of remembrance. They're those literal things that help us remember. But we too are supposed to be those stones. The writer of Hebrews says we're encompassed about with so a cloud of witnesses. We're urging us on for the race that lays, the prize that lays before us in this race. I don't know, but I think I know some folks who are urging us on. I think I do. I think they're right there, and they're urging us on. There's thousands and millions that I don't know, but I know a few names that are there. I'm getting to know more names over there than I know here. This is Memorial Day. We're supposed to remember those who have given the ultimate for us and the freedoms we enjoy so much. Jesus, ultimate gift to us. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, take a moment, think, be thankful, but thank Him who made all things possible as well. Lord, thank You for who You are and what You do in our lives, each and every day. We don't deserve it. I certainly don't deserve it. Constantly at war with myself. And Lord, be with us that we might be a people who are resolved to stand for You. And when the opportunities come to serve, we won't try to figure out how to get out of it, but how to get into it. And we'll be living stones proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, You have the victory. Lord, we're not past the point of no return. Do great and mighty things with us, Your people here in this place. Lord, we have been used and You have used us to touch the world in many, many ways. Father, help us, our work not to be done yet. The world has still not had the opportunity to hear that sweet, sweet name of Jesus. Use us, Lord. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.